The Occupy movement in New Hampshire has fractured this past summer. Ideology played a large part, pitting gun-carrying libertarians at odds with many liberals. The movement has had to exist with these competing ideologies. It couldn't exclude any group based on their political positions without putting their motto,
"We are the 99%,
at risk of contradicting itself. And it did, more or less, tolerate opposing viewpoints. That is, until recently. In mid-July, ONH held a General Assembly, or GA, where the local chapters would typically get together as a single statewide unit. But this GA was different. A group of libertarians came to the meeting with guns. They weren't planning on using them, of course, but several liberals said they were uncomfortable being around the firearms.
So they split off and formed their own group, and then that group excluded all guns, but also excluded all Free Staters and libertarians, I believe, from Occupy, and then decided to form a nonprofit.
That's Matthew Richards. He's a college student in Manchester and an active occupier since October. He says what was supposed to be a single circle of occupiers sitting on the State House lawn became two circles instead. But that's not where our story begins. A week before the split, a fight broke out on a Facebook group. It was a private space where core members would discuss the management of the public Facebook page. Mark Provost, a core Occupy member and a liberal, created an internet meme. I'll let Occupy member Teresa Earle describe it for you.
It was a picture of a guy in a Bernie Madoff mask and handcuffs, and it says, "Why is Bernie Madoff the only person in jail for something?" And then if the answer was because he robbed the 1%.
It was incredibly successful, with about 7,000 shares a day. According to Mark, it was ONH's most popular post ever. He wanted to ride that momentum and keep it pinned to the top of the Facebook page. But others, like Teresa, wanted to replace it with an event schedule for the upcoming GA meeting.
He had agreed, we all had agreed, that we would keep the events posted at the top of the page with his name underneath them, but at the top of the page. And that was it. At midnight, Mark decided he didn't want to do that anymore and moved his thing up to the top.
And then another Facebook admin noticed what Mark had done and removed his admin rights without a vote. Mark was added back on the next day when others had learned what happened. Mark then allegedly invited about 20 of his friends to join the Facebook group. This was in an effort to kick out the admin who had kicked him out the night before, and it was successful. Then, a week later, when Mark and other liberals incorporated ONH, they kept control of the Facebook page. Now, each group has their own Facebook page, both called Occupy New Hampshire. An awkward problem that became obvious early on was what to call these two groups. They both saw themselves as the real, legitimate Occupy New Hampshire.
Someone recommended that we call ourselves Occupy New Hampshire Red and Occupy New Hampshire Blue. Comedy Central actually posted an article about this, and they quoted the Monty Python Life of Brian quote of the People's Front of Judea against the Judeans People Front, and I thought it was hilarious.
Our shorthand for them is the excluders and the includers.
Elizabeth Edwards is a libertarian. She and her partner moved to the state from New York as members of the Free State Project. They've been active with ONH from the start.
I think requiring that you see big corporations and the wealthiest 1% as the enemy is an ideological requirement.
Edwards sees the Occupy movement as primarily anti-war rather than anti-greed. The wealth disparity, she says, is a problem, but they disagree on the root causes of that problem.
You know, if I had to worry about the libertarian trolls, I would have been knee-deep in the muckety-muck months ago. I mean, these guys have been a constant thorn in our side for months. They're people that are on Facebook. They're in the state legislature, passing anti-worker bills, slashing the state budget. I mean, they have nothing to do with Occupy.
Mark Provost has been called a brilliant media strategist. That's according to his enemies. And he's made a lot of enemies lately. Presently, he's one of the directors of the newly incorporated ONH nonprofit. When asked why his group is excluding libertarians, he said that simply was not true.
We are as inclusive as we've ever been. You know, we support the Occupy Solidarity statement, but that's a non-ideological statement, I guess you could say. I mean, it kind of blames the 1% corporations for everything. So, yeah, it's pretty an ideological statement, but it's one that's core to the Occupy movement.
As a leaderless movement, Occupy didn't sneeze without first reaching a majority consensus on what they were allergic to. And Mark found it difficult to make an impact as long as they couldn't agree on a central diagnosis to rally against.
I think Mark and the rest of the group, I think many of them have been frustrated from the outset with the libertarian and anarchist influence in Occupy.
They didn't show up with guns and we said, whoa, we have a problem with your ideology. They showed up with guns and we said, this is kind of like the last straw.
But there were plenty without guns who were cast into the same lot. Teresa Earle is not a libertarian, but she's probably close.
People call me a conservative hippie.
Earle, a busy activist, started a state chapter of Food Not Bombs, and she facilitated the last few GAs for the unincorporated Occupy group.
The Occupy meant to be an inclusive movement, and I can name you 12 names of people who were banned who are similarly minded, who were banned because either they supported the Free State Project or they were Free Staters, or they supported the Free State Project's right to exist.
According to Earle, the gun debate was a red herring. She says Mark was up for a punitive review in the same GA that precipitated the split for allegedly abusing his Facebook admin privileges. So, according to Earle, he came to the meeting with picket signs against guns and manufactured the split as a power grab.
He used the gun debate as a way to find a way to get out of having to face the consequences of his actions.
The truth is those 30 gun nutters never showed up to one meeting. Not one meeting, not one bit, not one ounce of work, nothing. Just showing up to a meeting trolling with a gun strapped by your side and insisting that you carry on non-aggressive principles. I mean, it's comical, really.
It's not clear if their differences will be resolved. Many of the wounds from the breakup are still freshly felt. What is clear is who's happy about the split and who's not.
Well, that's what's so sad about it. I mean, ultimately, we are all participating in the same things. Ultimately, when you look at what we're really protesting, we're protesting the same thing.
That's the best of both worlds, is that the two groups can both work on issues, sometimes similar, sometimes different, and both have healthy functioning groups.
I think it proves, or it shows, that the split wasn't necessary.
It was analogous to a relationship, I think, where one party is saying, you know, you can't split. And the other group is saying, well, I'm just hunky-dory being apart from you now. There's a healthy break.
Provost says he will remain an active member of Occupy, but that he will step down from the board of directors of the nonprofit. For Word of Mouth, I'm Ryan Lessard.